Tonight on the Pac-12 Network, our guy Jakob Poeltl, Salt Lake City, Utah's very own Jakob Poeltl, will be featured. He's been in Southern California working out with his agency and also working out with our next guest. Comes on the show quite a bit during college basketball season. In addition to television work, he also does some on-the-court work as well. Don McLean joining us here on the Bill Riley Show. Hey, Donnie.
Bill, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are things in Southern California?
Well, they're winding down a little bit. We've been going for a while. We got started a little bit early this year. Chris Dunn came out the first week in April, which is a little bit early. But now most of these guys are out working out for teams. Jakob got here the middle of April, so he was out here for about 6 weeks, and now he's out working out for teams across the country.
So tell people what you do. We know you from your TV work and obviously your playing days, but you also do some training too for some of these NBA prospects, correct?
Yeah, I've been doing pre-draft for a while now, I think 10, 11 years, something like that. And what my job is to get them ready for these team workouts. Skill-wise, I know most of these guys, and if I don't, like I know Poeltl better than most just because I did a lot of his games, but I get tape on some of the other guys that come in, and it's all specific to them, what they need to do, what position they play. I try and get them in as good a condition as possible to get ready for anything. You know, that's what's interesting about this process is every team is different. Some teams have an easy 45-minute workout. Some teams do a lot of testing physically and then put you through a workout. Some teams try and blow you out for an hour and 45 minutes. So I have to get them ready to handle any workout that they run into. And our goal is to move them up in their range. Everybody, by the time this process starts, has a draft range. So, for instance, like Poeltl coming in, his range is probably 7 to 14. Well, we want to get him to the higher end of that range if we can, and you do that by working out well for the teams higher in the range. So that's kind of our approach. It's hard. I challenge these guys. But for the most part, they respond, and they end up working out really well when they get to these teams.
So what's it been like working with Jakob? Obviously, we've gotten to know him for a couple of years here. Kid works hard. Larry never had any issues with that. We'll see the clip tonight, the piece on the Pac-12 Sports Report tonight. But how have you seen him from the end of the season when you were calling his games to where he is right now?
Well, every player that comes here, especially bigs, have to get used to a faster speed, and they have to get used to more contact. You know, the rules in the NBA and college are so different. So I try and shorten that learning curve as well, not only for these workouts, but for when they start next season in the NBA. So that being said, that's across the board. Jakob getting used to, and you'll watch it tonight, getting used to playing through contact, getting used to delivering contact, finishing plays with contact are all things that all bigs have to get used to. But I will say this about Jakob, and again, you're right, I know him pretty well. He's really coachable. And there's a lot of guys that are coachable, but what he's really good at is taking information and applying it immediately. Like if I would show him something or tell him something that he needed to do, the next play he was doing it. And so that tells me that he understands the game, that he wants to be coached, and that he's probably going to continue to improve. The one thing that jumped off the page at me, even saying that I did a lot of his games, his feet for his size are unbelievable. Like, I knew he had good feet and good hands watching him play at Utah, but when I got him here daily, his feet for a guy his size are off the charts, and I think when he goes to these team workouts, they're really going to fall in love with that because the league has changed so much now where even 7-foot guys are playing more on the perimeter than they ever have. So they have to be able to move their feet to guard screen roll. They got to be able to step out and make jumpers now. And the great news for Jakob is he can do those things. Better shooter than I thought because he did play a lot with his back to the basket at Utah. He can step out and really shoot it. Can't say that he's real comfortable behind the NBA three-point line yet, but from 17 to 20, he's pretty good.
Don McLean with us, Pac-12 Network analyst and also a guy that works out these NBA guys, gets them ready for the draft and things of that nature. And that's what I was going to ask you was his face-up game because we didn't see it very much. He didn't need to. Larry didn't necessarily want him to. Utah had some pretty good shooters. Mm-hmm. Well, his passing was always something that was pretty good here. How much is that going to help him on the next level, his ability to pass out of double teams and find open men?
I think it'll help him. You know, the league has changed so much that there's not a lot of just straight post-ups, throw it in and make the defense react. The good news for him is when he gets cross-matched or they switch onto him, he can run smaller guys into the post, and he's got a real good back-to-the-basket game. I just feel like nowadays it's not as required, but he probably had the best back-to-the-basket game in college last year for a big guy, so that will help him moving on to the next level. But his we do a lot because we have a lot of guys in here. We do a lot of live stuff, meaning one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three. And you're right, Bill, in the three-on-three stuff, his feel for the game really came out, made the right decisions, made the right passes, knew when to go on his own, knew when to give it up. And so to me, you know, physically, he still has some room to go, meaning he can put on some more weight, get himself stronger. But all the other stuff, you just don't see that often for a guy his size.
So do you think you say 7-14? What's likely? We've seen probably the Bucks. I had somebody say, Chad Ford told me the other day, he thought he might fall to the Jazz at number 12. I don't know if the Jazz necessarily need a big with Gobert here, but yeah. Is he going to be able to step in and at least contribute a little bit something next year?
Oh, definitely. He'll definitely be a contributor next year. And, you know, how the draft falls, you never know because of things happen above him. And it's based on team need. Like you said, does Utah really need him? They're picking 12th. I have a feeling he's going to go somewhere 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there. I know Toronto really likes him. He can help them. But, again, it just comes down to what team really likes him and what team has a need for a guy like him.
So it's on the Pac-12 Network tonight. Don, it's not just on Yaka, but he's working at a bunch of guys throughout the NBA draft. You mentioned Chris Dunn. I've heard a lot. I saw him play once or twice at Providence. Is he an NBA-ready point guard?
Oh, yeah. He is really and if you have the time, Bill, I don't know if you've read much about his backstory and what his upbringing was like, but it's shocking that he's based on that he's in the position he's in. And what a great kid he is. Not a good kid, a great kid. And he wants to be great. He wants to be on the Curry-Westbrook level of players, and he's going to get there, I have no doubt. And he's talented, he's big, he's tough, and like I said, he got here first and he's been here for a while, and I have no doubt that he's going to be an all-star at some point in the NBA.
Two quick questions away from the draft. How much does Draymond Green's absence tonight hurt the Warriors?
I think it hurts them significantly. You just wonder what the psychological impact is on Cleveland. You know, oh, well, they don't have Draymond. We should be able to kill these guys. And sometimes that works against you. But obviously a big blow and a loss for Golden State.
When did it become okay for players and players' wives to take public shots at star players in the league?
Well, don't get me started on social media. There's a reason why I don't have a Twitter handle.
Oh, you know? My God. I mean, would you have lost your mind if your wife took a shot at somebody you were playing against? I understand trash talking's happened forever in the league, but all of a sudden now LeBron James is the biggest pariah and crybaby people have ever seen, and I don't understand that at all.
Well, I'm not sure why Draymond Green's targeting everyone's private parts all of a sudden.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's like every time there's an incident, he's going to that area. So, I don't know. But, yeah, you're right. All these people that have a voice now because of social media seems like it's getting a little out of control.
I hope we get a game 6, and we'll see what happens. Hey, thanks for jumping on. We'll look for that tonight on the Pac-12 Sports Report, and we'll talk to you again.
Okay, Bill. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Don. Don McLean, Pac-12 Network, training Jakob Poeltl in Southern California.